So I do, there are times when your temper, basically from kids, gets the best of you, and I will cuss a little. And it's something I would, they're older now, I know they know what it means, but as they were younger, I don't know, 12, 13, you know, when I would say something like that, I'm thinking, no, that's horrible.
I have a 5-year-old now named Clara. When she was about 3 years old, she was standing in the living room and she had a doll or a toy or something in her hand, and she couldn't get like the little hat over the top of the doll. And she takes the doll and she throws it down, and she just yells words that I can't say right now. And I was like, Clara, we don't say that. And she's like, well, that's what you were saying to like the weed eater the other day or something like that. And immediately you're just like, yep, okay, that was me.
I think we can safely say that if you have kids or weed whackers, you've probably been there. Boy, I tell you, it's something you could have never said or intonated anything in your life, but if you get to a certain point, man, I tell you what, it can just bubble up from within you. I like to say there's words that form in the back of my head that begin to slowly traverse to the beginning of my head. And boy, it's a fight to not let those things come out. It's a fight to not let them cross your lips. And you know, we've been talking this series about the fact that somebody's always listening, whether it's our kids that are little watching us and listening to us, whether it's the people around us, whether it's our coworkers, whether it's the people that we share a neighborhood with or share car rides with, whatever the case may be. People are always listening to the words that we say. And as followers of Jesus Christ, the words that we say should point people back to Christ, should point people back to who has redeemed us, who has saved us, who has brought us out of that. Today, we're going to be talking about foul language. We're talking about foul language. Now, I know some of you are like, oh, I know. The Bible says, I remember growing up in church, and I remember memorizing that verse that says, thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. And you're like, I don't even know what vain means, but I'm pretty sure that I've not done it. And so we think about that and we process that. We're like, okay, as long as I don't take God's name in vain, then I'm okay, right? The other stuff, the other ways that I talk to people or I refer to people, or if I get upset and the language that I use when I talk to them, as long as I'm not taking God's name in vain, then it's okay. The other stuff is okay. But the problem is that if you have accepted Jesus Christ, God's expectation for you is for you to have redemptive language. Okay, redemptive language. Now you can look that up. You're probably not going to find it anywhere, but I'll give you a quick definition of it. It means that the words that come out of your mouth reflect the fact that you've been redeemed, the fact that Jesus Christ has paid the price for your sins, and that your responsibility is to become more and more like Christ every day. You're to have redemptive language, that people are going to see how you talk or hear how you talk, and there should be an interest, a curiosity there as to why you use the words or don't use the words that you use or the phrases or the conversations that you have. There should be something that is intriguing about what you're saying that would make people lean in and listen, because it's different. It's unique. It doesn't match the rest of the tone of those that are around you. It doesn't match the words or the stories of those around you. It's unique and different. It's redemptive. In fact, we are supposed to sound so different that God himself condemns coarse or salacious joking, filthy talk, any corrupt communication, and he says it's counterproductive to how he wants you to live. Look at this. James chapter 3, verse 9 through 11. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father. We come, and on Sunday mornings, we sing songs about God. We're like, oh, God, how great you are, and how wonderful Redeemer, and our King, and all these things. And we praise God with our tongue, right? We sing songs about him. We talk about what great things that God has done in our lives and all these things. And he goes, but, with that same tongue, we curse other human beings who have been made in God's likeness. God's that humanity is the pinnacle of God's creation. God created mankind to reflect his image. The Bible says that we are created in his image, both male and female, after him. And so we are to reflect the image of God. And yet we praise God with our mouth and with our tongue and with our words. But then in the same breath, with the same tongue, with the same mouth, we curse his creation and his children. And he says this, he says, out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. This is not what God's called us to. And then he uses a great analogy. He says, can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? I loved, as a kid, my family would always go to Florida. Every single year, we'd go to Florida for a week or 2 weeks. And I loved, when I was a kid, being in the ocean. Loved it. As I got older, I didn't love the sand so much, because it gets everywhere. And if you're not familiar with the beach, then just go to the beach sometime and just hang out and play on the ocean for a little bit, and you'll realize everywhere is everywhere. And but you know, if you're in the salt water and you're splashing around and you're trying to ride waves and that type of thing, you're going to ride a wave probably just a little bit too long, and you will experience the power of the ocean, and you will suck in salt water. And what's so amazing is that it's water, right? You are made up like 98% of your body is water or something like that. And you're drinking water, but yet it's salt water. It has that saltiness to it. And it makes you choke, and it makes you gag, and it makes you thirsty for the real thing. And he says, listen, if you've got a spring flowing up and you're drinking water from it, there's no way that at one point in time you're going to drink, it's going to be sweet, wonderful water that's going to satisfy you. And the next time you go to it, it's going to be salt water. It doesn't work that way. If it's a good spring, you're going to have good water. If it's a bad spring, you're going to have bad water. Paul takes this a little bit further, and he says, listen, I think I want to be very clear about this, because sometimes we can look at this conversation, we go, it's not that big of a deal. It's no big deal. Chill out, relax. Come on, man. We're just joking. We're just teasing. We're just this. Or I just got mad for a minute. And so we go, come on, don't worry about it. It's not that big of a deal. Come on, man. You know, relax. Well, Paul says this, don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins. And he just got done talking about that. And one of the sins that he talked about was foul language and coarse joking. And he says, don't be fooled by people that try to excuse this and say it's not a big deal. And he goes, because the anger of God will fall on all those who disobey him. Don't participate in the things that these people do. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true, so carefully determine what pleases the Lord. He says, listen, just like that whole spring, right? If it's a good spring, it produces good water. If it's a bad spring, it produces bad water. The same thing is true with you. And if you've accepted Jesus Christ, he's put the light of the truth of the Word of God inside of you. So therefore, what should come out of you is the light of God. Not like, here's the light, but like what you say and what you do and how you communicate and how you deal with people. It should be good and pleasing and honorable. Now, again, we're not talking about perfection, because we realize we're not all perfect. Can we agree with that? Okay, good. Look to the person next to you and say, I love you, but you're not perfect. Just, you know, just sweetness, smile, right? I love you, but you're not perfect, okay? Because we're not. It's the truth. We're just not perfect. We're all going to make mistakes. What we're really talking about here is the regular operation of your life, right? We're all going to say and do things that aren't right, that don't mimic or replace or look like God is in us. But the reality is the majority of our life, the majority of our conversation, specifically what we're talking about today, should reflect Jesus Christ. It should look like someone who actually has accepted Jesus Christ and has the light in them, because God said, I put the light in you. Let it show in how you live and how you talk and how you act and how you deal with other people. Jesus used a really good example in Luke chapter 6, and he kind of gets to the, no pun intended, but the heart of it. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. And he says, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good what? Heart. He says, if you're a good person, if you've accepted Jesus Christ and the light of Jesus Christ is in you, then what's going to flow out of you on a regular basis is goodness, good communication, good actions, good attitudes, good behavior. And then he goes, but an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil what? Heart. You see, the key to this whole thing in regards to our language is really much less about the words that we speak. It's much more about the place that conversation comes from. Jesus wraps it up this way. He says, what you say flows from what is in your heart. So here's the big idea today. The words of our mouth reveal the condition of our heart. The words of our mouth reveal the condition of our heart. The things that we say, the language that we use, reveals what's really going on inside of us, inside of our heart. It reveals what we're thinking. It reveals what we're feeling. It reveals what we're passionate about, what we're not passionate about. It reveals everything about us, how we live our lives, the things that we do, and specifically this morning as we're talking about it, the things that we say reveal what's really going on in our heart at that moment in time. It reveals what's really taking place. It reveals the genuine emotions that are taking place and that are going on. So when you say things that are hateful, that means at that point in time, you have hate in your heart. You go, well, that's not there on a regular basis. I understand that. Sometimes it just wells up inside of you. But the reality is that the reason that you say hateful words is because you've allowed hate to enter into your heart. If you say foul things and you are attacking of people, you have an attacking heart. You have a heart that's aggressive. If you are not thankful, you have a heart that is ungrateful, that doesn't understand the appreciativeness and the things that God has given you, the other things that God has done in your life. And so it reveals what's really going on in your heart. And so when you look at the conversation of someone, you can really legitimately say, I understand where that person is coming from because I hear the words that they're saying. Because Jesus Christ himself says, the words of your mouth flow from the attitudes of your heart. And so it's really important for us as Christians, if we are experiencing on a regular basis that we are using language that is not redemptive, that doesn't reflect Christ, then really it's not a language issue, it's a heart issue. Now, sometimes it's a habitual thing. You've just done it for so long, you don't think about it. And that's where you need to be proactive and ask the power of the Holy Spirit to come and help you and work through those things. But the reality is that for most of us, we use that language because it overflows out of what we're thinking at that point in time. So what I want to do is I want to spend some time this morning talking about what we need to stop doing and what we need to start doing. So I'm going to give you three things that we need to stop doing along with what we need to start doing. Because when you change a habit, you can't just stop it, right? You have to replace it with something. So I'm going to tell you some things that you need to stop and then come back right with the thing that you need to start and replace it with. So the first thing is this. Stop abusing, start uplifting. Stop abusing, start uplifting. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says, don't use foul or abusive language. See, that's the thing. When God talks about foul language, it's not just about using swear words or cuss words or something like that. It's literally when you talk to someone, the way and the purpose and the reason that you're saying the things that you're saying, you can be absolutely destructive to someone with your words without ever using a cuss word. Next week, we're going to talk about harsh words and the fact that we need to be careful. I'll just be honest with you. This is something I struggle with. If you're going to be here next week, I encourage you to be here. You're going to hear some stuff from me because this is an area I struggle with as far as my tone and how I say things. Because sometimes you can say things that don't use an abusive language, but boy, it is abusive in how you speak. And so don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. If you recognize in yourself that on a regular basis you are speaking to another person with foul or abusive language, then I can tell you with great certainty that your heart is filled with anger. Your heart is filled with resentment. Your heart is probably filled with some fear because you're using those words in an attempt to keep that person down and keep them from being who God's called them to be. You're going to keep them down with your words and tell them what you think about them and da 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 da. And so when that flows from your mouth, You need to take a deep breath and realize, man, what's going on inside here? If I'm using that type of language, what thing is going on in my heart that I need to deal with? Because 9 times out of 10, it's a you problem, not a they problem. When we look at this, we have to realize that humanity is God's creation. Humanity is the pinnacle of God's creation, and unlike the rest of God's creation, humanity bears the image of God. And so if you use your words to abuse, attack, malign, destroy, tear down another person, you are literally going after the very creation of God. We are not called to be people who abuse others with our language. We are called to be people who encourage others, who inspire others, who applaud others, who lift other people up. Paul says in Ephesians, he says, your job is to be say things that are good and helpful and encouraging. So here's the thing I would challenge you this week. If you recognize that you are struggling with this particular area where you just, man, you are ready at the drop of a hat to unleash a blue streak on someone or to tear them down, take a moment and ask yourself, okay, how would God have me say this? How can I say this and be somewhat encouraging? Because how you say it can be all the difference in the world. If you call someone names and you tear them apart and you do those things and you use your language to tear them apart, you're doing the exact opposite of what God would have you to do. And so check yourself and check your heart. So the second thing, not only do we need to stop abusing and start uplifting, but we need to stop joking and start reflecting. We need to stop joking and start reflecting. You ever been around someone and they say something particularly nasty about someone else and they recognize the temperature of the room did not appreciate that statement and they immediately followed up with what? I'm just joking. I'm just joking, man. I mean, you're not a complete loser and a jerk at all. And you try to pass it off in that way. Look what the Bible says, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Imitate God in everything you do because you are His dear children. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. Now, I got to be honest with you. When I began to look at this, I'm like, I don't understand the correlation between obscene stories, foolish talking. And by the way, foolish talking is talking just to talk. You ever been around someone that just talks to talk? That's something that God says is not beneficial either. Because the more that you talk, the more likely that you're going to talk yourself right into something that's going to hurt yourself. Because you're just talking to talk. So it says, obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse joking. These things are not for you. Instead, be thankful to God. You're like, hang on a second. I don't see how those things correlate. Here's how these things correlate. Because again, we got to go back to the heart. If these things are a regular conversation in your life, obscene stories, foolish talking, and coarse joking, then there is a reality within you that says your heart loves the world more than it loves God because you are willing to engage in these things that you do, you know don't reflect Christ, that don't reflect God. And Paul says you are to be imitators of God. Everything you do is to reflect God. Therefore, if you are loving the world so much that you're going to join in, participate, or initiate coarse joking, foolish talk or obscene stories, then the reality is that you love God more than you love the world more than you love God. And so he says the key to this, the way to get over this, is to make sure that every single moment of every day when you have opportunity to give thanks to God, to remind yourself of all that He saved you from, to remind you of all that He's done for you, to remind you of all that He's given you, to remind you that He gives you breath every single day, the ability to work, the ability to have conversations, the ability to have relationships. And when you are living a grateful, thankful heart, then you're not going to want to look like the world on a regular basis. You're not going to want to because you recognize that to do that is literally to spit in the face of the one who saved you, because it doesn't imitate him. You're instead imitating the world, because that's how the world talks. I mean, my goodness, you go into a locker room, high school locker room, college locker room at, you know, LA Fitness, whatever. You go and you participate in something with the guys or with the gals. And let me tell you, this is not just a guy thing, okay? This is a human thing. And the conversations and the details and all the different things that happen, and you engage in that, you are literally saying to God, I'm not really thankful right now for what you've done, because I am more concerned about what they think about me than what you think about me, God. And so Paul says, listen, the key to this is to stop the joking and start the thanking. Start reflecting who God has called you to be, even in your conversations. So stop abusing, start uplifting, stop joking, start reflecting. Last one, stop misusing and start praising. Stop misusing and start praising. If you grew up in church and you were a kid and you heard, you know, more than likely, it was a King James version of it, you know, thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. And you're like, I don't even know what that means. Basically, it means to use God's name or express God's name in a fashion that does not reflect the glory of God. To misuse, to take it in vain is to misuse it. So, Exodus chapter 20, verse 7 says, you must not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The Lord will not let you go unpunished if you misuse his name. Now, this is something I'm going to be real blunt with you, because I think that this is so pervasive, even in the Christian culture, even in people who claim the name of Jesus Christ, because it is so just, it's easy. You're doing something, and somebody goes, oh God, you don't even think about it. You've just taken the name of the one who gave his one and only son to die on the cross to pay for your sins, your filth, your rejection of him, and you have taken his name and you have made it something that you just, that's what you do. You go, well, it's no big deal. Well, let's revert back to that second verse that it says, do not gather, do not hang around those that want to excuse these things. It's significant. You go, well, it's a habit. I know it's a habit. It needs to be broken. Because every time you do it, you are saying to God, I don't really care about your glory, God. In fact, what it reflects is that you have a heart that is irreverent. Now, I'll be honest with you, in our day and age, I think we've lost a lot of the significance of reverence and respect for certain things. I think we see it in our culture right now. I think we see that there is a complete irreverence that takes place and a disrespect that takes place in areas where we should be respectful no matter what. Now, I'll tell you, I'll be flat out honest with you. I see it all over. It's not just those young people. No, it's not just those young people. It's all of us. And we have missed the reality that God is glorious. That God is above all that there is. That the name of God should be revered above all things. Do you know that before the New Testament came, there were these people called the scribes. They were the copy guy, right, of the Old Testament. Making copies. And that's what they did. They just made the copies of everything. And when they got to the name of God, Jehovah, they wouldn't even spell it out. They would put the letter J-V-H because they didn't want to spell it out, because they revered the name of God so much. And then after they would write those three letters, J-V-H, they would take the quill. They would break it, because after the name of God is written, nothing else should be written with this pen. That's how they revered the name of God. It was so special and so divine. Yet in our culture, it has become so benign and so We need to have redemptive language as a Christian, taking the name of the one who gave it all for you and using it as an adjective for something, using it as an expletive, is unconscionable. And it should be unacceptable. Even if it's a habit, it needs to be broken. How do you break it? Well, you start praising. Psalm 63, verse 1 and verse 4. Oh God, you are my God. You start by going, God, no matter what's going on in my life, I'm not going to take your name and misuse it. I'm going to praise you because, God, you are my God, and earnestly I seek you. You, my soul, it thirsts for you. My flesh, it faints for you as a dry and weary land where there is no water. God, this is what I want. I want more of you in my life, because if I have more of you in my life, then I'm going to understand who you are, and I'm going to show a reverence to your glory and your awesomeness, and I'm not going to misuse your name the way that this world does and wants to tamp it down and desensitize us to those things, because God, you are God, and you are worthy of my language. You are worthy of my praise. And then he finishes in verse 4. He says, so I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. He said, God, I'm not going to use your name as a way to curse. I'm going to bless you with my language. And when I speak your name, it is not going to be in that fashion. It is going to be in a fashion of, God, you are awesome. And that's how we're supposed to do it. So at the bottom of your notes there are two things that you can respond with. The first one, I want to challenge you, if you've recognized that you've gotten yourself into a habit where it just flows, you don't even think about it, it just comes out of your mouth. My challenge to you would be this: make the content of your language match the content of your heart. You go, well, I love God. I don't want anyone to think that I don't love God. I mean, I truly love God. I'm so thankful for all that he's done for me, and he saved me, and the family that he's given me, and the things that he's done. And how I'm so thankful to God. Then you know what? Let the content of your language match the content of your heart. Begin to catch yourself. Begin to tell yourself, this is not okay. I need to correct this. I'm going to share you something I think is so funny. It's not a Christian family, but we know them, and they're involved in our sphere. And it's funny because the kids were getting in trouble at school for language. And they're like, I don't know where they're getting it. And they're like, we get it from you. So they made a jar in their house that if you swore, you had to put a dollar in. You know what? That may not be a bad idea for you in your home. Because let me tell you something. If you put that in your home, your kids are going to be like hawks on you. Like, dollar right there. Challenge each other with this. If you recognize that if you're married and your spouse struggles with this, challenge them with it. Say, hey, listen, I love you, but let me just tell you, you say this all the time without even realizing it. Say it all the time. Challenge yourself with it. Change the content of your language to match the content of your heart. Secondly, maybe you realize that it's really a heart issue. You realize that your conversation and the words that you speak and the language that's coming out of your mouth is genuinely flowing from a heart that's bitter or irreverent or hateful or angry. Honestly, I'll tell you the truth. The reason that that usually happens is because at some point in time in your past, you've been hurt deeply by someone or something else, because hurt people hurt people. So my challenge to you would be to confront the heart issue that's coming through your speech. What's the heart issue? What are you dealing with? What's going on that you have left unconfronted in your heart? Is it pride? Is it arrogance? Is it anger? Bitterness? Confront that issue that's in your heart so that your language can match who God's called you to be. As Christians, God has called us to have redemptive language that reflects his image. So my challenge to you is, begin on that path. Because when you do that, God's going to give you opportunity to then tell the rest of your story so that others can be redeemed through the message of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for the gift of language. We thank you for words that you have given us to be able to speak, to be able to have conversations, to be able to communicate with others. But God, just like everything else in this world, through sin, it's been corrupted to be something that can be dangerous, irreverent, disrespectful, abusive to others. So God, I pray that in this moment, you would point to those areas in our life where we need to make a change. God, is it because there is a legitimate heart issue that we've got going on? Is it something that we're dealing with that we need to just confess before you right now, to put our hands up and go, God, I am so sorry. I have not dealt with this. I have pushed it down. It is something that breaks my heart. It is something that makes me mad. It is something that irritates me. Whatever the case, God, just confessing it to you now so that if there's an issue in our heart, that it can be fixed, it can be worked on, it can be mended, and it can be repaired. God, maybe if we've just not seen it as a big issue, it's a habitual thing that we've done since before we knew you. It's just, you know, language. It's just conversation. God, confront us with the reality that when we speak that way, we're telling people that that's what's in our heart. We're telling people this is how we feel about this. God, I pray that you would show us that if we do that, we are pushing people away from you instead of lighting the way towards you. So God, I pray that we would be convicted, that we would begin to change so that the content of our language matches the content of our heart, which is redeemed and thankful and ready to praise you at the drop of a hat because you alone are worthy. God, I pray that we would be imitators of you, that the light of Jesus Christ that you have placed in these broken, shattered, unworthy vessels would shine through those cracks, would shine and let other people see, so that they in turn could see the light, follow it, and be redeemed themselves. We thank you for this, and we pray this in Jesus' blessed, holy, and awesome name. Amen. Let's stand together and sing.